The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to read just a couple verses this morning as my text, and the verses I want to read are found in the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 18. If you're able to, take your Bible this morning, turn to it, John chapter 18. And I want to read just two verses, John 18, verses 37 and 38. Now listen to these words. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? When he had heard, said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find no fault. I find in him no fault at all. Let me just give you a little background here. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, being arraigned before Pilate. Pilate's response to Christ was one of contempt. What is truth? It was not a serious inquiry. As my brother Joe Galusik said a few Sundays ago, if you have to ask what the truth is, then you don't know what the truth is. I really like that. It was not a serious inquiry here by Pilate, for he did not even wait for an answer, according to verse 38. You see it? He says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered and said, Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I shall bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he heard, when he had said this, he went out. He just left. He wasn't looking for an answer. He was saying this with contempt toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It was contempt for Christ himself, for his question, what is truth, was in response to Christ's declarative statement about himself and his particular people. Do you see it? Everyone that is of the truth, everyone, not one excepted, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do you see it? You see it? You see, man's contempt for Christ, man's contempt for Christ's gospel, man's contempt for Christ's people. Do you have contempt for Christ? Do you have contempt for his gospel? Do you have contempt for his people? God is not thwarted by your contempt. No, not even one iota. Pilate went out to the people immediately after this was said. And you can go on down through it and read what happens. But listen to what takes place then, just in the next few verses down in chapter 19 and verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. And now here it is. Listen to this. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Now Jesus does speak up. Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Do you see that? It doesn't matter if you have contempt for Christ, if you have contempt for his gospel, if you have contempt for his people, you are not thwarting the purpose of God Almighty, no, not in one iota. God has you and your contempt in his sovereign control and power, and he will crush your puny soul at his good pleasure. Do you hear what I say? Do you hear the God that I'm declaring this morning? Do you hear the Christ that I'm declaring this morning? You have no power over anyone or anything except it be given you from above. You see, the rebellious and the obstinate sinner has no more power than the sovereign heaven and earth suffers them to have. Yea, even that he gives that puny rebel to have. God Almighty has every human being in his sovereign hand to do with them as he pleases. The knee-jerk, humanistic, effeminate pastors of our day who present God and his Christ as wringing their hands, wishing some sinner would let them have his way, are but pawns in God's hands as he works his sovereign checkmate among the inhabitants of the earth. God Almighty is in sovereign control of all things in this earth. And it doesn't matter whether you like that, and it doesn't matter whether I like that. This is just the way it is. And I know this kind of language is not common in our day. It's not common, but the bleeding heart moans that men and women spew forth on behalf of their failure of a God is but proof of their satanic origins. Oh, but may God, the God of heaven and earth, the God who holds your very breath in his hand and his will to give it to you at his good pleasure. May it be that that God breaks down your walls of resistance, and that God, that sovereign King of heaven and earth, bows you unto his truth. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now maybe I understand that some of the things that I've said upset people. They become angered. But oh, why is it that maybe, just maybe, there's someone still listening? Someone still listening, saying within themselves, you know, this is the way the Scripture presents God Almighty. This is the way the Scripture presents the Christ of God. This is the way the Scripture presents the gospel of God. And this is the way the Scripture presents the sovereign purpose of God, the declarative will of God in all things in this world. You see, since the God of heaven and earth held the Roman proclator's actions in his sovereign power, then your thoughts of having God in check are but the puny musings of a worm in God's sight. And they're but the puny musings of a worm in God's sight if I say things like that. You see, after Christ's entombment, after Jesus Christ gave up his life on that tree, and they put him in that tomb in the ground, then Pilate sought to secure the tomb with seals, and he set human guards around that tomb. You remember the account? Ah, the ignorant attempts of corrupt men to try to withstrain God. Think about it. Pilate was going to make sure that that body of that man called Jesus of Nazareth stayed in that tomb, but it could not hold him. The God I'm declaring unto you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the sovereign King of heaven and earth, and his holiness will prevail, and his will prevail, and his justice will prevail, and his purpose will prevail, and puny little worms like you and I have nothing to do with it. We can't thwart God's sovereign purpose. You see, the religious Jews thought they had silenced this preacher from Nazareth, and their murderous cries about his crucifixion, when they cried, "We'll not have this man to reign over us, crucify him, crucify him." And their murderous cries about his crucifixion were indeed the carrying out of God Almighty's sovereign purpose. Have you ever thought about that? The Scripture says Jesus Christ was predestined to this end. He said, "For this cause came I unto this hour." Jesus Christ came into this world to go to that tree. And even though the murderous hands of men brought him to that place, yet this was indeed the carrying out of God's sovereign purpose for the redemption of his elect. And God still held these people guilty and condemned. You see, your rebellion or my rebellion is in no less control of God in God's sovereign hands. God Almighty The sovereign King of heaven and earth controls all things in his own determination. He said, I will do all my pleasure. He said, I'll send my word out and it shall accomplish the thing whereunto I send it. You may say, what is truth? You may say, what is truth with the same spirit as the Roman proclator Pilate did? But your contempt neither thwarts nor sways God's good pleasure. God causes, according to the psalmist in Psalms chapter 76 and verse 10, and listen to what it says, God causes even the wrath of man to praise him, and the remainder of wrath he will restrain. You listen to a false teacher, you listen to an apostate pastor to beg you to let God save you, and you glory in your having the final say in your salvation, it's just not so. God Almighty holds you, and God Almighty holds me in his sovereign hand. He is clear. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, and whom I will I harden. So when you listen to these false teachers, and you listen to these apostate pastors who have this begging, knee-sop God, he isn't worth spit. You have no say in anyone's salvation, and especially your own salvation. And I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture. And listen to what is said here. This is the Apostle Paul's words, being moved by the Spirit of inspiration, being moved by the Spirit of God. And the Apostle Paul here writes these words in Romans chapter 9, and I will read through them. Listen to what he says. For this is the word of promise. What promise? The promise of salvation, the promise of blessing, the promise of God's mercy, the promise of God's compassion, the promise of all that comes from God that is good and merciful and loving. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And that's exactly what God said. And that's what it says in the Old Testament, God said. And that's exactly what God meant. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And then Paul continues, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. I say it's a resounding God forbid. But this is the way men respond to this truth. God's unrighteous then. No, God's not unrighteous. The judge of all the earth does right. So the apostle goes on. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he, that is God, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You see, the election of grace, salvation, justification before God, righteousness before God, sanctification before God, it has nothing to do with your willingness and your endurance or your continuance. It has to do with God Almighty showing mercy. If he purposed to show mercy, he will have mercy. And let's read on. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. This is exactly who God is. No one, no puny worm, no puny worm of a man like me holds God in check. And no puny worm of a person like you holds God in check. But do you see that? God cried out unto Jacob, even that one Jacob, the one he loved, Jacob, thou worm. You upset because I used that word? And yet the one God loved, God called him a worm. But you know what God's Jacobs do? They bow to God's truth. I am a worm. Just like that Syrophoenician woman when Christ said, it's not right for me to take the children's meat and give it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know what she was saying? You're right, Lord, I am a dog. I am a dog, but I'm your dog. And I just need some crumbs. Oh, the humility of a broken heart before God. Oh, but every proud rebel, let me tell you, God Almighty has you in his hands. Listen. Paul continues on after making the statement, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will have mercy. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Maybe some of you have been saying that. Maybe someone out there under the sound of my voice has been saying that very same thing. Well, Paul knew you'd say that kind of thing. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hast not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Oh, do you see it? I have no say. You have no say in anyone's salvation, and especially our own salvation. It's not up to us. It's up to the sovereign King of heaven and earth. You may say, what is truth in mocking? Or you may say, what is truth in disdain? Your mockery or your disdain manifests your total lack of any ability to bow to and comprehend the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Remember, let me turn back to it. Turn back to my text in John chapter 18 and remember what Christ said there. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Do you see it? Those who are of the truth, they bow down to God's word. Those that are of the truth, they hear what God says about himself, that he is the sovereign king of heaven and earth. They hear what God says about them, a worm, a dog, filthy rags in God's sight, and they bow before God's truth in adoration and say, that's truth, Lord. That's truth, Lord. You see, you may say, you may mock, you may disdain the God of all glory, but your disdain and your mocking is in God's sovereign hands. And your mocking and your disdain manifest your total lack of any ability to bow to and to comprehend the truth of God in Christ. Oh, but may it be that in spite of your disdain, I know, I've been there. I've had that disdain, but I've been there. Oh, but may it be this morning that God Almighty will bow down your heart and mind and your spirit before him. But bow to Christ one day, we all will. We'll either be bowed by his sovereign mercy and compassion in this life and in time, or we will be bowed before him and be made to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father, even then to be confined to eternal ruin, because God will get to himself glory. Ah, because the glory is this, some do hear Christ's voice. Isn't that glorious? If you're out there this morning, you know this disdain. You've tasted it coming from your own lips. You see it flowing out of your own heart. And you know, oh God, what a sinner I am before God. I've hated who you are. I've disdained who you are. I've disdained you. I've disdained your Christ. I've disdained your gospel. I've mocked your people, made fun of them, as though they're some silly, archaic type of people. Oh, God, I see the rebellion in my heart. Oh, there is a voice of hope for everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. when he says you're a worm, when he says you're a dog, can you acknowledge that? Can you see that? You see, these people, they know the truth. You see? You see it? Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So some hear his voice. They know the truth. And the truth has set them free. One, we know Christ. We know the Christ of God. We see ourselves and we see him. These are two things that God brings every person he ever saves to see. They begin to see something about themselves. The truth of what we are before God. The truth of our corruption. The truth of our crimes before God, the truth of our sinfulness before God, the truth of our iniquity before God. We're made to see it and to taste it and to bow down in humble adoration before God and say, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. We know these things, but we're also taught this also, who God is and who he is in truth, not these lies of all these apostate preachers out here. Some people, they do hear Christ's voice. They know the truth, and the truth has set them free. The Son of God has set them free, and they are free indeed. This is what our Lord said, if the Son shall make you free, then ye shall be free indeed. You see, the contempt, the mockery, yea, even the persecutions of the wicked, they are in my God's sovereign hand. And if you believe him, if he's bowed you to this truth, they are in your God's sovereign hand. You see, the saved, those whom God has saved, they love the truth, not these lies spewed forth by false free will religion, not these lies spewed forth that men speak of somehow you have to earn God's glory or somehow you have to will to get God's grace or some way you have to show God your worth. What we do is cry out. We cry out. We know it's not meet, God, for you to give the children's bread to us. But, oh, God, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And God, I'm just your dog. Save such a dog as I am. Save such a, even as old Caleb. You remember Joshua and Caleb in the Old Testament? The two faithful spies. Remember there are 12 spies sent into the land to spy out the land? When they came back, 10 of them gave this evil report. We can't do it. You know, it's too hard. But there were two that had believed God. And they knew that God had given them the land. And they said, let's go forth, for our God is with us. These people are nothing. And you know what? One of them's name was Caleb. And Caleb called himself a dead dog. I'm just a dead dog. You see, those who know the truth, they acknowledge the truth in two things. One, about themselves. That I'm corrupt, that I'm sinful, and I have nothing to offer to God as merit before God. And they know this other thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign God of heaven and earth, and it is in his righteousness that I must stand before God. You see, the saved love the truth, and they love it in humility, in desire. They love it in spiritual reverence and the fear of the Lord. They acknowledge him. And they acknowledge themselves for what they are. They have been bowed, just like the proud rebel Saul of Tarsus. Can you imagine Saul of Tarsus? He hated the name of Christ. He hated the message of Christ. He hated the people of Christ and was even had papers from the higher-ups in Jerusalem to go find anyone who adored the name of Jesus Christ and had these people, men and women, put into prison and possibly even put to death. And yet God Almighty brought that proud rebel down. That's what I'm preaching. I'm saying that God Almighty can even break your pride. God Almighty can even break down all of your mockings and all of your disdain, and he can bow you before the feet of Jesus Christ. It's like that old leper. That leper came full of leprosy, full of uncleanness, full of vileness, and he knew it. He knew it. And he said, Lord, saying to Jesus Christ, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew the question wasn't Christ's ability. He knew the question was, will he do it or not? It's up to him. This is the way everyone that is of the truth, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So again, I say, the saved. There were those who were saved by God, those who were saved by his sovereign mercy and compassion, those who were saved by the sacrificial, God-honoring, justice-satisfying sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. The saved, they loved the truth. And they loved the truth in humility, in desire, in spiritual reverence, in the fear of the Lord. They acknowledge who they are, and they acknowledge who God is. This is just the way it is. This is the kind of people God saves. This is the manifestation of the kind of people God saves. He brings them down. He brings down the proud rebel, even as Nebuchadnezzar, that old proud king of old, who walked in the haughtiness of his pride and boasted of himself before God. And he was brought down by God. And you know what that old proud rebel king said at the end? He said, "Those that walk in pride, this God, the God of heaven and earth, the God that he extolled, this God, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Now, I would encourage you next week, God willing, we will look at the truth. We'll look at the truth itself. We'll look at the truth of God as defined by the scripture. It's amazing when you go through that the truth is mentioned so many times, almost 200 times in the New Testament alone. So certainly by God's grace, by the lead of his Spirit, we can find out a little something about the truth of God. So I would encourage you next week, tune in at the same time to this station, and we'll talk about the truth of God.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.